passion, peace, and productivity with friends. The Walker AC Experience, Out of Context Podcast, and many more shows are here on the Walker AC Experience Podcast channel. Starting in February of 2018, the experience has been a staple amongst the many millions of podcasts out there and still going strong to this day. Take the adventure with us and subscribe, follow, share, comment, and support the experience. Bookmark WalkerAC76.podbean.com and www.walkeracexperience.com/mobile. Want to pick up and rock some merchandise? Go to www.cafepress.com/WACE and pick up everything from Walker AC Experience hoodies, shirts, and tees. And even special items such as bedroom blankets, clothes for your little ones, pets, stationery, magnets, and so much more. We thank you for your continued support and keep the experience thriving.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Walker AC Experience for April. I almost said March. Year's gone by way too fast for me. See, I'm getting old, people. I'm getting old. My birthday's coming up soon. Gift cards. once again, this is Walker AC Experience. I'm Walker AC, and to you, my friends, yes, all of you are my friends. You're still my friends. I still value and cherish you. But being my friends comes with obligations, responsibilities. Now, it's your responsibility, people. Take accountability for your actions. It's your responsibility to go on to bookmark walkeracexperience.com/mobile. This is our brand new website where you can find all the updated podcasts that we do, from whether it be Cereal and Beer, the Out of Context podcast, and, of course, the Walker AC Experience. Bookmark that page. Take a look-see at it. Look for news, current events, everything in between. And, of course, subscribe. Share, download walkerac76.podbean.com. That's walkerac76.podbean.com. You want to rock some drip, as the kids would say. It's horrible coming from me. But cafepress.com/WACE. Stationery, clothes, blankets, pillows, magnets, you name it, we have it. Once again, from the experience to the Out of Context, to cereal and beer and everything in between. Now, of course, this show cannot continue without me introducing my co-host. He's a man, he's a myth, he's a legend. He gets all my corny jokes and he laughs for them out of courtesy and sympathy. Kevin, you everyone. Hey, Kevin, how's it going, sir?
Hello, happy pre-solar eclipse.
Yeah, that is correct. When is a solar eclipse?
It is projected to be on April 8th, and I think it's supposed to be viewable from parts of Texas up to the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. Now, bear with me here. The common misconception, I could be wrong, is you're not supposed to stare into a solar eclipse or you'll go blind.
Well, you shouldn't look at the sun directly anyways. But yeah, you can wear glasses, specialized glasses, or maybe like sunglasses, I don't know, but there's guides out there. Just be smart about it, everybody.
Yes, and I've always was told as a little kid, if you look directly at the solar eclipse, you know, you go blind instantly. But I never knew what kind of shades to wear until I got older. So it was one of those things. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to look directly at it. Ooh, solar eclipse is happening. I'm staying inside. I don't want to go blind. It was one of millions of, you know, weird childhood myths that was told to you that we had to fall for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's going to be great. I remember the last time it came around, it was like, okay. Like, I'm going to try to watch it. And so I was outside and like, it kind of got shady, but it wasn't like, you know, nighttime, but it was really great.
Not bad at all. So, as we're going to jump feet first into the show, Kevin, I have to tell you, I listened to Cereal and Beer, the latest episode of Cereal and Beer. And If you guys haven't listened to it yet, please listen to it. It is an hour plus of comedy, like it always is, you know, and it enlightens, it's humor, thought-provoking, everything in between, and I say that so many times, but it really holds true. And Kevin, one thing that I laughed about, intensely laughed about, was when Jeff talked about, you know, you have to look around sometimes, because sometimes you might have to punch somebody.
And yeah, life basically is a level of Streets of Rage.
Yes. I mean, and sometimes people deserve punchies. When he said that, I had to rewind it and laugh again and again and again, because I've never wanted to give somebody punchies as much as I did when I heard that. So Jeff, thank you so much for that. That is tremendous. On top of that, I have a small correction, because I was screaming at my phone when I was listening to the show. You mentioned, I believe, Mike Tyson is going to fight Jake Paul, I think?
One of them guys, yeah.
Yes, one of the Paul brothers. And also, one of the Paul brothers is a wrestler now for the WWE. Mm-hmm. Now, Jake Paul is a boxer. The other Paul brother, and I know right now people are screaming at their phones right now going, how can you not know this? So, as I'm going to kill a little bit of time here. Now see, this part, Kevin, while you talk for just a few seconds here.
Yeah, my favorite Paul is Sean Paul.
You know, actually like Paul. I actually like that. But yes. Here we go. Now, people, don't stop screaming at your phone here. It is Jake Paul, and also, see, I had it right here, too. See, this is all about show prep, people. And Logan Paul. Logan Paul wrestles for the WWE. Now, a small amendment to you guys' statement on cereal and beer. Logan Paul was the one that went to Japan and went in the Suicide Forest. That was him, not Jake Paul.
Oh.
So Logan Paul got a whole lot of grief for that, and rightfully so, of course. You know, you don't do something like that for clickbait and attention and stuff like that. But come to find out, in the end, he apologized for his actions, and whether or not certain people forgive him, that's up for debate. But yes, he definitely deserved punch. He definitely deserved punchies for that. So there you go.
One day we're going to see Paul versus Paul. I betcha.
But do we really want to see that?
Well, people like a spectacle, you know? It'd make money.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we're now in a day and age where these magical influencers, I'm not a big fan of that word, influencers can box, do silly things for likes and clicks and stuff like that, which makes me wonder. I mean, Kevin, are we influencers or are we just regular podcasting schmoes?
I like to think of us as undercover cult influencers. We influence people, right? We make you guys think and feel. It's only a matter of time until we get to get into, like, celebrity cop fights.
I will be your corner man while you box, because I guarantee you're going to win every fight. You know, they'll look across the ring and they'll go, why is he holding a walking stick?
It's secretly my folding chair.
When in doubt, you can smack them in the dick with it. They fall down instantly, and you know, it's okay. I mean, we get the winning share of the purse. So there we go.
Yeah, and if you want to be real old school, you hide some brass knuckles in your crotch or your pants.
See, that will get us likes and clicks, and we'll be influencers. But I think Kevin, you know, I think more of us as cult leaders. I think that has a much more ring to it. Because if you tell someone, I'm an influencer, they're going to go, influencer of what? Podcasting? Really? You mean like Joe Rogan? You mean like, no, I'm an influencer. What do you influence? People? And instantly, yeah. Influence, no. It's an instant turnoff. Now, see, if you say, you know, Kevin and Adrian are cult leaders, that gets people sparking. You know, they're like, huh. You know, I heard about cult leaders. I know it's not really popular. Heavily frowned upon. Manson-ish. David Koresh-ish. But these guys seem pretty decent. I mean, great smile. Great personality. Let's see what they're all about.
Right. And like, dude, who wants to pay taxes? And we can make our rules. And we can design our own robes. I mean, what's not to like?
Hmm. I mean, but the million-dollar question is, Kevin, what would our cult name be?
The you're walking the AC path.
But I mean, come on, we have to have something more believable because, you know, to be fair, they're going to ask us, well, walking AC, what path? And then we're going to have to sit and think for a second and go, damn it, let me get back to you on that one. And there goes the whole cult right there.
Well, the path is in your heart, just like where the real treasure is.
Go on.
Exactly, man. If you have to ask, you'll never know.
See, you know, I smell money. I smell a moneymaker with this.
Right, I mean, I smell pennies.
But yes, the Walker AC cult. Or, hold on, the cult of Kevin.
Ooh, just the CK.
Yeah. And see, they're going to go, well, who's Kevin? Exactly. Join the cult of Kevin, and you get to find out who Kevin really is.
Exactly. Let's see. And if we have, like, a musical chorus, it could be, like, Kevin AC Music Factory. Close enough to CNC's Music Factory.
Google it, people. You will laugh your ass off. Just Google that.
Yeah. The game.
But on to the topic at hand before we start doing punchies. Last week, we talked about a couple of things. And go back, people look at it. And you came up with an interesting topic that we're going to just delve in a little bit. Living with other people. Now, before I turn it over to you, I've lived with other people for many, many years. For 30 years, I have people living in my personal space. And I've made no bones about it. It's no big secret that Walker AC is a private man, you know, who lives in his castle with a moat surrounding around with crocodiles to attack anybody who comes near Castle Walker. That's just who I am. It's okay. Love it or leave it. So, in going backwards, before I became the wonderful man that I am, send all your hate mail here, I had roommates just like a good chunk of us. So, we can talk about living with people. You know, the pros and the cons of living with people. Everybody has stories of living with people. We're just now going to be one of those people. So, buckle up, folks. So, I'll start with you, Mr. Kevin. How is it living with other people for, you know, one point in time in your life?
It can be challenging. It's got to be the right kind of relationship where I don't suggest living with, like, close friends because it tests you. It just, because it's one thing to be good friends with somebody, it's kind of different to be with them in their living context. Like, with habits and, like, sensibilities and, like, being able to adjust to another person. It is a big challenge. And unless there's clear communication and expectations, which is difficult, it's just going to be bumps in the road. You know, I've had roommates, I've lived with ex-partners, I've lived with family, and it's a process. And it is a sense, like, you have to mature and be mature enough and hopefully find somebody that's on the same level as you. You know, it's why going with some rando may be a bad idea.
Let's see, when I first started having roommates in my 20s, I think I mentioned this before many, many years ago, one of my older shows. Myself, my brother, and our good friend Sean just packed up the Partridge Family bus and drove all over. We wound up in Colorado because Sean had family there. So all three of us in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment in Vail, Colorado, really expensive place. And it was good living with friends for a while. But we know all of our habits. A little bit of secret habits here and there we didn't know about. But it was more of a detriment to live together versus I'd rather live with strangers. I'd rather be in my own room and not really deal with anything because you have so much personal stuff going on, you know, with a good friend or a relative. I would just rather take my chances, you know, living in like a dorm setting because when you go to college and you live on dorms, sometimes they just book you with somebody else you just live with, and you just have to make it work. Mm-hmm. I'd rather take my chances with strangers. I mean, if you had the chance to do it all over again, I mean, what would you have chosen?
Well, I would like to know somebody, not a complete stranger, but enough familiarity or be introduced to somebody. That way there's somebody to vouch for them. Because with a stranger, there's a trade-off. You don't owe them anything and they don't owe you, which is both, you know, a good and bad thing. Like, you can just have more, I guess, hard boundaries and just be more, I guess, concrete with things. But at the same time, you know, if some things go wrong, there may be no motivation for them to compromise or forgive or to adjust, because again, they don't owe you anything. Whereas somebody you know, I think being able to preserve the bond is important, and having a sense of respect will prevent or just help mitigate an escalation or have that kind of underlying positive foundation. Whereas like somebody you really know really well and really care about, it could strain things because, yeah, it's like, you should know me and you should know better. Why don't you care about me more to, you know, adjust? And so it's, you know, that's the other part of it. And so, you know, living with other people has taught me a lot. My roommates in college weren't so bad. They were okay. In general, like, the majority of my experiences living with other people was decent, you know? But it is really tough when they are very opposite of you in living habits. How about you?
Well, when I moved out, my first time moving out, when I was, I think, about 18 or 19, I moved out with some roommates. And once again, we're all good friends. And that was a warning sign. I mean, obviously, hindsight being 20/20, you would think it would be a great idea to live with your buddies. But like you said, expectations, boundaries were never set. So you walk into a situation, I walked in, just, it was willy-nilly. You know, this is my room, we can share a refrigerator, we'll split the bills. No one talked about cleaning. No one talked about hygiene. No one talked about if something breaks down, how we're gonna fix it. We were just, you know, wild teens, young adults, just doing whatever because we've experienced that freedom. The freedom that, you know, it's our first taste of it, so we're taking full advantage of it, not really coming up with a game plan. That is one of the many faults when it comes to having roommates for the first time, you know, because you never really sit down and go over everything like you should. Versus, just like you talked about before, when you're in a dorm or you're living with strangers, instantly you come up with boundaries and guidelines. And it becomes a whole lot more smoother because you know what you're walking into. And that person basically can say, screw you, I'm out of here. You know, they don't owe you an apology or anything. They come in and do their business. They live their life and they leave. Or, you know, or God forbid, you know, you may make a good friend out of them with that expectation of everything has been set already, so everything is okay.
I was renting a room one time and this guy kind of just shows up and I was like, oh, hello. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Just chatting. Like, all of a sudden, like, I talked to the landlord, like, oh, so-and-so moved out. I'm like, what? They're living here? Where? In the crawl space? It was so weird.
Now, the cool thing is, in Vail, we worked for Vail Associates, which is the equivalent of Disney. You go to work for Vail Associates, you work for the ski lift, or you work for certain shops, stuff like that. And in the wintertime, the apartment complex we stayed at, people would just come in, whether it be for school or just for the winter, and they would literally tell you, hey, this is your roommate. You know, you have a spare room? This is your roommate now. Make it work. But we were extremely lucky because of the two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment that myself, my brother, and Sean shared. We didn't have to worry about that. You know, so we would look at other people, some of our associates that we made along the way, and we would ask them, like, how is it living with some random stranger? And it would always be, it's great. They really don't say much. They introduce themselves and what they want, what they like, what they don't like, and they sit in their room. We don't have to worry about anything. Versus looking at myself, my brother, my roommate, I'm like, oh, I got to clean up after these guys. Oh, it's a mess. Oh, their part of the rent didn't get paid and stuff like that. It was always a struggle. And after we moved back to Florida, we didn't talk that much because we spent so much time with one another and dealing with each other's BS. You know, it was rotten. And another set of roommates I've had before goes back to my brother and a high school friend we had. Long story short, his parents got him a place to stay in Daytona Beach for college. And he invited myself and my brother to come along with. And we all lived together. Again, same story, not knowing each other's boundaries or expectations. And it was a mess. And at the end of the whole thing, you know, we lost a really good friend because we didn't have that conversation. You know, to this day, I have a little bit of regret to this day because how things ended. You know, my brother took a U.S. trip just randomly and left us kind of holding the bag. And then, you know, and then my friend's parents came and got him, and I was stuck in a one-bedroom apartment by myself. You know, that can barely pay for anything. So I had to move out and move in with my girlfriend at the time. But in the end, we all wound up not liking each other because nothing was ever set. And of course, life goes on. We grow up, relationships, children, or whatnot, and we all go back to square one, living alone. So my question to you is, and everybody's listening going, I know where this is going. Do you prefer living alone, or do you prefer living with people?
I like company, but I do think living alone is pretty nice. You know, I don't need that much space, truly. Like, my smallest apartment was 450 square feet studio apartment, and it was all right. You know, the room in of itself, I mean, some other things could have been useful, like AC or, you know. But, it is nice to have other people around, too, especially if you get along. Just be like, hey, let's go to dinner, or let's go do something, you know. Having that option is nice, but my compromise for that is having a friendly neighbor, some like a friend that lives, like, you know, really close to you. That could, I think, fill that need too. So, but you know, if I had to choose A or B, maybe living by myself. How's about you?
Yeah, I think if you would have asked me that question in my teens, my 20s, maybe even my mid-20s, I would say living with roommates. Because going back to splitting bills, splitting rent, splitting food, or just having that someone to talk to. And now in my 40s, I'm like, nope, nope, no, stay away. Everyone stay away. I'm all right. I can make my mess. I can clean up after myself, and I'll be totally fine with it. But I guess I'm much more of an anomaly because I got my first house when I was, I think it was 20, I believe. And I got a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom house rented to me by the church. Because my sister knew the church, they were renting houses, and I was very lucky at that time to get a house. And I moved in, and I told all my buddies, mistake number one, to have this big house. It's all my own. It's fairly cheap. Stuff like that. And then the moment I got stuff moved in and knocking at my door, one of my friends wanted to move in. And not thinking, I'm like, great, I can split the rent two ways and it's going to be great. And he's my friend. We have a great time. Then I knock at my door again. Another one of my friends wanted to move in too. And I'm like, oh, this would be great. Split rent three ways. It's great. Not thinking 3 bedrooms, 1 bathroom. How cleanliness, you know, and stuff like that. And they were great, great roommates. But once again, nothing is better than having your own thing.
Did you have them sign contracts?
Oh, I was 20, 21, an idiotic kid. No.
Oh, no.
Not at all. But to my two, you know, roommates' credit, to my two friends' credit, They paid everything on time. They were okay with everything. We had a great time. It was fun the way it was. A little hiccups here and there when it was time for them to leave or when they branched off into their own thing. A little bit of a hiccup. But other than that, I was pretty lucky. And you're absolutely 100% right, Kevin. In hindsight being 2020, I should have sat down, had a contract, and said, hey, these are my expectations. This is my house. You know, yada, yada. But I didn't do that because, you know, when you're young, you want to have, you know, the friends. You want to have the party. You want to have the camaraderie. You don't want to be lonely. You want to share everything. And more times than not, it kind of blows up in front of your face.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's probably not an uncommon story.
Yes. Now, so we're going to flip the switch. And people will be screaming at their phones right now and ask this question. They're going to go, of course. Of course it happened. Duh. We're humans. What was or have you had a bad experience with a roommate?
Yes, I have. This person had a lot of issues. And it was like, sometimes you get amazed about how people function or don't function. And just how I couldn't decipher what was part of just their lifestyle and part of their deeper issues, and just how incredibly dirty things were. Like, almost like somebody might call Adult Protective Services dirty. And just like, we're always broke, always, you know, was late on all bills. It was absolutely horribly trying. Yeah, but I mean, so yeah, I mean, everybody goes through something like that, you know. On Reddit, there's one called Bad Roommates. Oh man, people's stories. Jeez, some people are absolutely like crazy. How about you?
Oh, goodness. I have a lot to choose from, but I will add in a disclaimer that this was many, many, many years ago. I hope this person is doing extremely well. I hope the other person I lived with is doing extremely well. And we can talk about this because, hey, you know, we were stupid teens, young adults. My brother, I lived with him and our you know, high school friend as well. Person A and person B, I guess we'll do that. And my brother and I, you know, we were clean freaks. I was a clean freak. He was a cook, and the other guy, he was the handsome guy who got all the women. And we shared a one bedroom. So myself and my brother would sleep in the living room, and he would have the room because his parents got him the place. Originally, he said, "Hey, come stay with me for free. It's no problem. I'm going to college. My parents are paying for the place." And then as soon as we moved in, he's like, "Oh, by the way, parents changed their mind, so are you going to pay for half?" I'm like, "Well, okay, we all worked for the same company, so it's no big deal. That's great." So my brother would make these elaborate meals. Kitchen would be a mess. I cleaned the mess. And then, you know, the other guy, the friend, we'll kind of listen to music, go to concerts, because his parents were very well off. So my brother and I will be starving, we'll be broke, and my roommate would have all the money and be okay. So fast forward to maybe a couple of months, he bring home a girlfriend, he go in the room, me and my brother be sitting out in the living room watching TV, listening to weird and funny noises emanate from the room. Next day, get up, get ready for work, three of us, one bathroom. The roommate would be gone early because he'd go to school. My brother would do his shower thing. I do my shower thing after him. Then one day he calls me into the bathroom. He goes, "I need you to look at something." I'm like, "It's not that kind of party." He goes, "No, not that." He discovered a roommate's underbreeches on the floor. No big deal. But then he proceeded to point out to me in a very grotesque kind of manner. He goes, "There's a stain in his underbreeches, as you can see right there in front of you on the floor. I'll give you three guesses what that stain was, folks. It's brown, and it wasn't a chocolate bar. So, yeah. It wasn't as bad as a skid mark, Kevin. It actually had texture to it.
Oh, and it's more of chunky style.
Yes, it's more of a chunky peanut butter. Needless to say, we never looked at him ever the same again, because obviously he cannot clean his bottom properly. So, yeah, it was really, really bad. And also, now, folks, keep in mind, we were in our 20s, 21s, 22s. So this is back before the DVD player and the cell phone were invented, because, yes, we're that old. So we were all watching adult programming in the living room. And there was one scene where I guess the gentleman had a little honey bear, a little squeeze bottle honey bear things. And he used that to decorate. Let's just put it decorate politely. So my roommate with the poopy underwear thought it was a good idea to buy that and try it on his girlfriend. How do I know he tried it on his girlfriend?
Oh, no.
Because when my brother and I came home from work, there was sticky stains on the carpet.
Oh.
Yep. Now, before you guys are saying, ew, 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 no, it was actually the honey bear, because we smelled the honey. It was all sticky spots all over the carpet with a half-empty honey bear on the counter. And we're like, dude, really? Really, dude? And all he did was chuckle and go to his room. Mind you, we slept on the floor because the couch was not big enough for two people. And if it was big enough for two people, I'm not sleeping next to another man. So that's just one of many, many adventures that we've had at the apartment. So bad roommates, yes, I've had plenty.
Jeez. It's going to mess up. Like, yeah, I'm just going to leave honey on the carpet. Bye. Don't mind the ketchup and mustard either.
Here's another little nugget of information here. No pun intended. We had a little theater system set up in the living room. We took like a Chester drawer and we kind of put holes in it a little bit. So we will have three TVs like in this setup. So one TV on the top for television. On the bottom right, another TV for video games. And on the bottom left, a TV for adult programming. So, now mind you, the adult programming was much more for entertainment than it was for self-gratification, if you know what I mean. So my brother would order adult films, put them into VCR, and watch those with the sound down, with music playing, while I would be playing video games on the other TV, while my other roommate would be watching TV on the other TV. And we'd have our friends come over and hang out with us and talk to us like it's nothing, because it was just the way we were. We just sat there, we just did our thing, and it was no biggie.
Jeez, that just sounds overwhelming. I would hate that.
but when you're young adults and you're on your own, nothing was off limits, because it was just that freedom. I mean, nowadays, this generation, that would not fly. You would be magically canceled, police called on you, everything. Guilty until proven innocent, something like that. So, but yes.
That's just too much shit going on, man. I don't even like when people fucking use their phones and watch TV. Like, what the hell, man? Do one or the other.
we prided ourselves on being different, just like all the other kids growing up. And with our job, we used to work in a movie theater, AMC movie theaters. For those of you who are our age, you know what that is. And considering how we were broke and we didn't have any money for food, at the end of the night, we take a trash bag full of popcorn and bring that home. That would be our dinner.
Popcorn dinner.
Yes. Now, I think it's safe to say I hate popcorn.
What a fake-ass butter.
But yes, in this particular generation, I think at our age, it's not very it'd be frowned upon that to have roommates at our age. I mean, unless it's obviously a spouse. But no, I mean, I really don't think we'd have a roommate these days. I mean, even if you and I were roommates, I don't think we'd last. I think we'd kill each other.
It would have to be like a duplex, you know. But hey, I mean, it's housing prices are out of control in major cities. That, like, you know, how the price of home is like 10 times the person's income. So, you know, maybe people have to have roommates. It's getting out of control.
Well, yes. I mean, I guess I had to flip the script a little bit and agree with you on that one, because without giving away too much detail, Castle Walker is financially stable. So worrying about rent and stuff like that, I don't have to worry about that. Thank heavens, I'm very, very blessed by that. Rent nowadays, yes, for a one bedroom, two bedroom is what, like $1,500 or $1,800 or something like that?
At very minimum.
Yes. So you would have to have a roommate. I mean, you would have to literally sit down and get a roommate just to split the bills, because, you know, not to get off on a political rant or anything of the sort, nobody's making enough money to have the ability to live on their own. Or if they do, it's a very small majority of it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Because, I mean, and I'm going to be that guy, Kevin. I'm going to say back in my day, when I was 20, 21, the one bathroom home that I had, it was $575 a month.
That's, I don't know what you could get with that nowadays.
You could pay a bill with it.
Yeah, a bill. There you go, a bill.
And see, of course, people, to put this into the proper context, now, for those of you who are around my age, you can go, oh, okay, I remember that. Now, for this new generation, $575, oh, I can jump at the chance. I can make that in one paycheck. No. Back then, I was making, what, $4.75 an hour or $5.15 an hour? So paying for that place, it was a struggle. On top of that, mm-hmm. You know, your water bill, your electric bill, your cable bill. Yeah, mm-hmm. Having roommates definitely help. Mm-hmm. Splitting $5.75 between three people, that was quite the luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, and things aren't getting any cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they talk about raising the pay rate?
They're always talking about that. They need to. But it's also kind of how affordable housing gets knocked down for luxury housing, and and then home insurance and all these other factors keep the price of rents high. You know, there's no rent control, there's no rent subsidies. You know, public housing is incredibly short supply. It is very difficult out there.
So I was thinking, and a couple of people had brought this up, and I read this online a few times, that if you raise the wage, then everything else is going to go up. So it'll be just like where we are now.
That's the poor correlation. You know, the people's wages are not directly tied to other services and goods. Just because I make a dollar more doesn't mean my cereal is going to get a dollar more expensive. It's a lot more complex like that. There are market forces at play. There's competing goods. There's supply and demand. I remember one time I was working retail, and some guy's like, "Hey, I want you to tell me why this is so expensive." I'm like, "Okay, well here's a short summary. Think about the cost of labor, marketing, the employees, rent for this place, utilities for this place, the executives, everybody from payroll to the lawyers that the company has to account for. All these costs are fixed in are considered when you think about why this thing has cost this." And he was like, "Oh."
He's like, "I wasn't expecting that. Damn, he's smart. I wasn't expecting that."
Yep. So I don't find that argument very sound at all. It's not sounded in an understanding of market forces.
So if you think we went from, I think what the rate is 15, 16 an hour, I believe, and we bumped it up to $20 an hour, I truly think, I mean, the cost of living, I mean, it may be a little bit easier, question mark. And I can only say, because I'm kind of ignorant to it, because my living situation is different than most, my financial status is different from most. So making $20 an hour, getting an apartment for $1,800 for maybe like a one bedroom or even a two bedroom at that, I don't think things would be a little bit easier.
Not really. It's a step in the right direction, but again, like, how can we still afford utilities, everyday necessities, or even the ability to save money? You know, like making $20 an hour, you know, it'll give you a little bit more freedom, but then again, everybody has different costs, like student debt, you know, car loans, you know, all these other financial obligations that can exist.
That is true. Let me ask you a very, very vague kind of question. What would happen if they just erased all the student debt? I mean,
That'd be interesting. It would shift. So it could be a mixed bag. It would kind of screw over the in, like the loan providers. They'd be out, and so that may act, you know, whether it be private or public loans. So it would hurt them. It would help the borrowers. It'd free them from all the debt and allow them to use the money for necessities or saving or to improve their quality of life. It might change the economy, having this kind of market shift. So it'd be a mixed bag.
Okay. And so, I mean, and you talk about the shift. I mean, do you really think that would help a lot of people, you know, get affordable housing now, or affordable cars, or maybe even, God forbid, medical?
Possibly. I mean, it depends on how much money, you know, whether it be, you know, $1,000 to $100,000 or more. It could just allow people to completely change the way they operate financially. It'd be quite interesting to see how it's done or what could happen. I read a story about how in, I think there was a New York medical school where, due to an incredibly generous gift, all the students there had their tuitions paid for.
Oh wow. I mean, that must have been really nice.
Absolutely. So it is kind of a mixed bag. Something I really disliked is that people on the very like super conservative people, they don't see the value in adjusting like or easing student loan debt. Their whole talking point is like, oh, these people are getting level large degrees. Yeah, they're like, we're paying for them to study, I don't know, basket weaving. But my answer to that is like, so the account you have, the doctor you see, the teachers that helped you and your family, all the people in your life, they all got degrees. And wouldn't you want that expertise out there? Just because there are some degrees you don't see any value in, what about the rest of us that are contributing to the public good in society with our professions, or just adding to humanity's knowledge and culture? I think that's worth investing in, and I don't think it should be outrageous. I don't think you should be saddled with debt for 20 years and have no ability to attain wealth because of the debt. You know, whereas, you know, generations before, you work a summer job and pay for tuition. And so I really don't like that really naive, misinformed talking point to think that, you know, we're just, people are trying to waste money on somebody to you know, study something frivolous in their eyes.
Yeah, you go through all that work, all those years, all that debt, and then you finally graduate and you become a surgeon. Just hypothetically speaking, you become a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend more years paying those loans back than mm-hmm. anything else. You know, and mm-hmm. so you look back at it, you're like, was it really worth it? You know, you get your dream job, you make your great salary, a good chunk of that is gone paying back all those loans.
Yeah, and just, you know, when, and just, and when it comes to the federal, and when we look at the loss, it's ridiculous for a student debt. There's so few ways to get out of it. It's easier to get out of other debts. You could declare bankruptcy. You cannot get out of debt that way. Even, you know, if you die, they might go after your next of kin to get the money. It is horrible, and the rates are horrible. And if, you know, if for some reason you can't complete your degree or for whatever, you, what are you going to do? You can't do anything with half a degree.
Well, I mean, worst comes to worst, you could do one of two things. And it's, oh, before I even make the silly joke, I can say that, you know, you're right. It's like, okay, well, you don't pay your debt, you pass away, your debt goes to your next of kin. It's like a bad mafia thing. You know, mm-hmm. hey, we killed him, but you still owe us the money. Worst comes to worst, Kevin, we can always go to selling our feet pics. Yeah, we can do
or
that.
Or creating that cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full, see, circle of life, Kevin. Full circle. Full circle. We start with the cult, right. Make all the money, save all the money. There we go.
Exactly. Debt is against our religion.
Well, I mean, debt and taxes, stuff like that. Yeah, we're definitely getting away with it. But, I mean, wouldn't that make us a church?
Why not? Oh, exactly. That's like a mega church, you know? I could yell in front of a TV screen, screaming, be like, yeah, give me money, you're going to hell.
If you do not join the KK, the Cult of Kevin. Oh, no. Oops, hold on. Oop, that was wrong. That was wrong. The CK, the Cult of Kevin.
There you go.
You know, well, you know, I mean, what would the cover charge be? I'm trying to think. I mean, not, I mean, we don't want to rip everybody off. I mean, at least not that much. I mean, well, I mean, like, what would the cover charge be? Maybe what, $20 a head? Maybe $20 a month?
I think a percentage of a person's net worth is fair.
I think that works. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, seeing how we're a religion / cult, you know, we don't have to file with the IRS or anything, so. Yeah, even better.
Exactly. I mean, if Scientology can bully their way out of getting in trouble with the IRS, we can too.
Trademark. So, yes, yeah, we can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I have to work on our new clothing line, the, you know, the Cult of Kevin you know, stationery and shirts and bed sheets. Yes.
You know,
Kevin, I think we did it again. I mean, I think we solved another world's problem. As well as making another business for ourselves.
Perfect. This can't go wrong at all. People in Jonesboro's didn't know what they're doing.
It's like I said it before. You know, we're not heroes, Kevin. We're legends. This is what we do. This is what
that
we do.
Be our cult. Exactly. Those will be our cult ranks. Legends.
And the best thing is, you know, I mean, if somebody wants to leave our cult, they can't. If they try to leave, we give them our finishing move. Perfect. Perfect finishing.
Exactly. The cult tax. That's the finishing move. Remember the rest of IRS?
Yes, see, there you go. You got to be our manager. Looking for our books. Now, people out there are listening. We're only joking, kind of, sort of. We are not going to create a cult, not yet. So save your money for us and just fear not, kind of, sort of. So. But do you have anything else for us, Kevin, before we dip off into rants? I mean, this show, once again, has gone by with a quickness.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, we can go to rants. Let's get to it.
What you got, Kevin?
My rant goes to the legal system. From seeing and experiencing how complex and hazardous it is, how can the average layperson hope to navigate any legality? And legality surrounds us. You know, there's high profile cases going on right now. And it just seems that when you are rich and powerful, you are living in a different world where you can find your way around the law, and the law will bend to you. Where if you are just some, you know, proletariat, you know, peon, you are at the mercy of the legal system and you are unarmed. It is so crazy to think about sometimes, of how expensive and how much liability there is in the world to just want anything. It's a crazy part of living in America, how you can fall victim to the law. For example, in the state we live in, Florida, they passed a new law that allows the police to arrest squatters. And I had a passing knowledge of squatting, and it was so crazy to think about all these loopholes that exist that allowed people to just take possession of other people's property. This was nuts. And people were like, what's the average person gonna do? Like, when you get in a situation, you can spend your life savings trying to like fight. It's out of control. And just like the internet, I read on the internet, it's like, we have a legal system, not a justice system. But yes, it's it is garbage out there. How about you?
To piggyback on that a little bit, I'm going to go into a phrase I've heard multiple times throughout the years. You know that phrase, innocent until proven guilty?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. You are guilty until proven innocent. You have to prove your innocence on everything. Especially nowadays with this particular generation. Anyone can go, you know, Kevin touched me inappropriately 5 years ago. And you can get in trouble for it. You can be canceled for it. Your name can be smeared for it. And it's up to you to fight for your innocence. They can accuse you of anything now without any kind of evidence whatsoever. And you're done for. There have been so many cases out there where anybody can point the finger and go, this person did A, B, and C to me, whether it be now, whether it be 8 years ago. I want them punished, and you will be punished for it. It seems insane when you say it aloud, but it's actually true. You are guilty until proven innocent. And there are so many causes of this, there's so many examples of this. It is ridiculous. You know, all you have to do is just, I hate to even say, go on social media and look, but it's all there. And it's really sad, and also it makes me happy that I'm saying it's like Castle Walker, untouched. But as soon as I say that, you know something's going to come out. Well, Walker AC touched my foot about 10 years ago, and I felt uncomfortable, so I'm going to sue him now. You know, and it'll be up to me, you know, to say I didn't do it. You know, her foot grazed up against mine, and it was weird, so.
I am compelled to add a caveat to that.
Go ahead.
To quote Shakespeare, nothing new is under the sun. I mean, it is not just a generation. It's always been there. Just ask Emmett Till. Or even to go back further, just ask Nero. They painted him to be, to be crazy, but that was a smear campaign. How do you fight back then? Or even, let's look at the War of 1812, caused by, which was fabricated war through yellow journalism. It's happened through all of history.
I just believe it's more prevalent now due to the creation of social media. It's more out there now. It's in your face now. You know, no matter which way you turn, but go ahead.
It happens faster. But it's still the same condition, just like gossip. it's always been part of human history, but you know, and there is this comment that misinformation travels 6 times faster than the truth.
Yes. Because I mean, there's so many examples out there, and I'm not going to list all of them, whether it be Vince McMahon, whether it be P. Diddy, or whether, you know, whether it be 50 Cent. See, showing my age, Kevin, showing my age. And for people who are listening going, well, what does that have to do with them? Look it up, guys. Look it up. As you know, just a
well, base. Aren't they guilty anyways? Those are bad examples.
Well, certain things they are. Trust me, this man, he's a piece of garbage. There, he's done a whole lot to people. A whole lot of karma's coming his way. Mm-hmm. But there are some other things that he's been accused of and instantly guilty in a court of public opinion. That's just one small example. Not the big picture when it comes to him. Trust me, not defending him, folks. But yes. Now in the United States, you are guilty until proven innocent, and it can happen to anyone. That's the scary part about it is. So,
it's always been that way.
Yes, it's just more in your face now. Type up something, there you go. You know, Kevin lured me into his cult. I lost all my money, so I'm going to sue him now. It's his fault. And you're going to go, wait a second, you wanted to be in my cult.
Joke's on you. I'm just some avatar. You got to sue God.
Now, this is my AI telling you, haha, you can't sue me. It was my AI you talked to. Yes, that was a callback from the Serial and Bear episode, folks, about AI. Go back and listen to it. It is hilarious. I can't do it any justice. So if there's nothing else, Kevin, do you have any shout-outs for anyone?
Let's see. Shout-out goes to... Shout-out to good listeners. Good listeners... have a certain skill, to be active and engaging and to make other people feel heard. Good listening is something that you can develop. Good listening and communication in general is like dancing or sex. Everybody thinks they're great at it, but really, not really. So, you know, I think it's valuable to try, you know, go get some hints on how to be a good listener.
I'm sorry, you were saying something? Oh, I'm joking. My shout out, Kevin, is to you and Jeff for an amazing, amazing episode of Cereal and Beer. I have never laughed so hard at you guys' show than on this one. And if that line makes any sense, you guys can understand. I laughed extremely hard on this show. It was really, really good. Anything from punchies to AI talking about, you know, you after you pass away, to having conversations with yourself. It was just consistent. And I laughed when you guys laughed. I laughed when you guys talking about just everything. So kudos to you guys. And thank you for the special shout out in the beginning of the show. I was not expecting it. And I'm very humbled. I'm very glad that Jeff gave us such praise. And I was never aware that he listened to our show so intently. Just my only complaint is, Jeff, listen to the whole damn show. Don't stop halfway through. Listen to the whole damn thing. Listen to the shout outs.
Book report.
Yeah, exactly. You will be quizzed on this. And very soon, not too sure when, very soon we're going to do a humongous collaboration, as the kids would say, to all of us in the same podcast at once. Hopefully it's not too big of a cluster, because you guys did a great job on that show, so special shout out to you guys.
Thank you.
So now the show is coming to a close for another week of the Walker AC Experience. Kevin, any parting words for our people that have tuned in this week?
Get enough fiber in your diet. You'll need it.
What?
Just a reminder.
As my doctor told me, Walker AC, how many times you eat? 3 times. How many times you shit? Once. Switch it. Okay, no problem. We could definitely do that. So also, one more thing. Where can they find you if they want to reach out to you, Kevin?
Oh, boy. Probably on our Facebooks where we post our episodes first and foremost. You can find me on both Walker Ace Experience, this podcast right here, and also the Serial Beer podcast, also wherever you can find Walker Ace Experience. So across 22 platforms, including Podbeam, Podomatic, Spotify. Yeah. So find us there.
Awesome. And of course, just like Kevin said, find all of this on the 21 free different platforms as you listen to your favorite podcast. Also, once again, hop on over to walkeracexperience.com/mobile. Bookmark that page on your phone, on your PC to get updates on new shows. Also, listen to the current shows that are out there, the Out of Context podcast, Cereal and Beer podcast, and the Walker AC Experience podcast. Please subscribe to walkerac76.podbean.com, walkerac76.podbean.com. We thank our listeners from last month, people from Israel, people from Japan, the UK. People love the experience. Hop on board. What are you waiting for? Join the tomfoolery, the shenanigans, everything in between. This is what we do, folks. Because once again, without you, there is no us. We thank you for downloading, for sharing, for commenting. Ooh boy, what a show. This has been a Walker AC Experience. I have been Adrian. He has been Kevin. You've been our friends, our family, our loved ones, people who love us, people who hate us, but you'll still keep listening. If you still continue to hate us, Jeff will give you punchies. Good night, everyone.